Hi, my name is Nancy.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth.
Hi, my name is Nick.
You are listening to Check It In, Check It Out,
a radio show all about the library.
The Elgin County Library.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out.
Welcome to Check It In, Check It Out. I'm Julie Berry at 105.9 Radio DeBrigg, coming to you from the heart of beautiful downtown Elmer, Ontario. Hear that? Yep, it's the sound of wind chimes on a lovely, breezy summer day. Our show tonight is all about the wind, from windmills to kites to clouds. Don't touch that radio dial, my friends. You're in for a treat. Whether you live in Elmer, Stratfordville, Springfield, or Port Burwell, there's a library nearby and a summer reading club there for you. Ask the friendly library assistant all about it. Even if you live on a lonely country road outside of town and you only get into town once in a while, then make the library one of your stops. Get a library card. They're free. Books, movies, CDs, and fun. Did I mention fun? The Elgin County Public Library has it going on all summer long. Join in the fun and make this summer better than ever. It's time for our first story. Find a cool, comfy place to sit yourself down and listen to this. If the Wind Changes, written by Steve Smallman and illustrated by Daniel Howard. Alfie loved to look grumpy. Even if he was feeling cheerful on the inside, he still had a face like thunder. Every morning he practiced making grumpy faces until he was very good at it. One look at Alfie's super sour face could make little kittens burst into tears and lady cats faint into their flower beds and keep all the other young tomcats far away. But it was hard work looking grumpy all the time. It made Alfie's face ache. So he taught himself to smile while he was asleep. Alfie's mom would watch him sleeping with a sad look on her face. She wished Alfie would smile during the day. One day, Alfie's great-aunt Tabitha came to look after Alfie while his mom went out. As soon as great-aunt Tabitha arrived, Alfie grimaced and glowered at her with a face like a bulldog chewing a wasp. But great-aunt Tabitha didn't faint. She just said, "Don't make a face, dear. If the wind changes, it'll stay like that." "Yippee!" meowed Alfie. "Then I'd look grumpy forever." His face lit up with a huge grin at the thought of it. And of course, it was while he still had a big smile on his face that Alfie noticed a change in the wind. Alfie's enormous smile suddenly stuck on his face. No matter how hard he tried, he couldn't stop grinning from ear to ear. Alfie yowled angrily at Great-Aunt Tabitha. "I can't stop smiling." "That's nice, dear," said his aunt. Alfie ran off, frantically trying to make his face go back to normal. But it was no use. His smile was as big as ever. Then Alfie noticed something strange. Smiling was catching. Every cat he passed smiled right back at him. Even little kittens gurgled and giggled when they saw him. Alfie spotted his mom by some bushes. "Mom," he meowed, "look at my face." To Elfie's surprise, she gave him a big hug. "You've made me so happy," she purred. Some young tomcats came by and asked Elfie if he wanted to play. No one had ever asked him before. "Okay," he replied. Elfie had such a good time playing with the other cats that soon he was feeling as happy as his face was looking. Worn out from playing, Elfie and his new friends lay down in the long grass and watched the clouds drifting past. Then one of them said, "Look, the wind must have changed. The clouds are heading back this way." Suddenly, Elfie felt his face come unstuck. Elfie tried making a big, grumpy face just to be sure it worked. The other cat started howling with laughter because he looked so funny. Elfie smiled again, and the smile felt so right that he thought he might never look grumpy again. He did, though, and very soon, as a matter of fact. But it's okay to be grumpy every now and then. Well, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, dogs, cats, and anybody else out there listening, let me assure you that if you are making a face when the wind changes, that face will not stick. That's because the story about Elfie isn't a true story. As you know, not all stories are true. The next one, though, is true as true can be. The boy in the story really did all the stuff you will hear about. Find yourself a nice, soft chair. Sit down, relax, and listen to this.
The title of the story is The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, written by William Kim Kwama and Brian Mueller. The pictures are drawn by Elizabeth Zuna.
In a small village in Malawi, where people had no money for lights, nightfall came quickly and hurried poor farmers to bed. But for William, the darkness was best for dreaming. He dreamed of building things and taking them apart, like the trucks with bottle cap wheels parked under his bed, and pieces of radios that he'd crack open and wonder,
"If I can hear the music, where's the band?"
At dawn in the fields, he wondered as a truck rumbled past.
"How does this engine make it go?"
"Pay attention where you throw that hoe,"
his father shouted.
"You'll cut off your foot."
Without water, the sun rose angry each morning and scorched the fields, turning the maize into dust. Without food, Malawi began to starve. Soon, William's father gathered the children and said, "From now on, we eat only one meal per day. Make it last." In the evenings, they sat around the lantern and ate their handful, watching hungry people pass like spirits along the roads. Money also disappeared with the rain. "Papani," his father said, "I am sorry. You will have to drop out of school." Now, William stood on the road and watched the lucky students pass, alone with the monster in his belly and the lump in his throat. For weeks he sulked under the mango tree until he remembered the library down the road, a gift from the Americans. He found science books filled with brilliant pictures. With his English dictionary close by, William put together how engines moved those big trucks and how radios pulled their music from the sky. But the greatest picture of all was a machine taller than the tallest tree, with blades like a fan. A giant pinwheel? Slowly, he built the sentence. Windmills can produce electricity and pump water. He closed his eyes and saw a windmill outside his home, pulling electricity from the breeze and bringing light to the dark valley. He saw the machine drawing cool water from the ground, sending it gushing through the thirsty fields, turning the maize tall and green, even when farmers' prayers for rain went unanswered. This windmill was more than a machine. It was a weapon to fight hunger.
"But bestie, but the ball,"
he whispered. "I will build electric wind." In the junkyard, pieces appeared like rusted treasures in the tall grass, a tractor fan, some pipe, and bearings and bolts that required every muscle to move.
"Tonga,"
he'd shout to the birds and spiders holding up his prize. But as William dragged his metals home, people called out, "This boy is masala. Only crazy people play with trash." After many weeks, William arranged his pieces in the dirt. A broken bicycle, rusted bottle caps and plastic pipe, even a small generator that powered a headlight on a bike. For 3 days, he bolted, banged, and tinkered, while chickens squawked and dogs barked, and neighbors shook their heads saying, "What's Visala doing now?" His cousin Jeffrey and best friend Gilbert soon appeared. "Muli Bwandi," they greeted. "Can we help with electric wind?"
"Grab your pingas and follow me,"
he said, and took them into the forest. Together they swung their sharp blades into the trunks of blue gum trees. Then hammered them together to make a tower. Standing atop, William shouted,
"Bring it up!"
While the boys tugged and heaved, a crowd gathered below and gazed at this strange machine that now leaned and wobbled like a clumsy giraffe. Some giggled, others teased, but William waited for the wind. Like always, it came. First a breeze, then a gusting gale. The tower swayed and the blades spun round. With sore hands, once slowed by hunger and darkness, William connected wires to a small bulb, which flickered at first, then surged as bright as the sun.
"Tonga,"
he shouted.
"I've made electric wind."
"Wachitabwina," a man called. "Well done!" As the doubters clapped and cheered, William knew he had just begun. Light could not fill empty bellies, but another windmill could soak the dry ground, creating food where once there was none. "Magesti a mafepo, electric wind can feed my country," William thought. William Kemkwamba was born in 1987 and grew up near the village of Wimbi, located in central Malawi. Like many people in Malawi and the rest of sub-Saharan Africa, William's father, Triwell, was a farmer. The Kemkwambas grew a kind of white sweet corn called maize, which they ate for every meal in the form of porridge called sima. To make extra money for clothes, medicine, and other essentials, they also raised tobacco to sell in the capital city, Lilongwe. Because their only food came from the ground, any problems with the weather or changes in the price of seeds or fertilizer could cause serious problems. William is now a student at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire, in the United States. He is studying to be an engineer and plans to return to Malawi to work on renewable energy for electricity and pumping water in villages. Here's a little something to get you giggling.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Wendy.
Wendy who?
Wendy wind blows, the cradle will rock.
This show wouldn't be possible without the generous help of the Elgin County Public Library
and the Mennonite Community Services of Elmer, Ontario.
We'd also like to thank all the folks at Radio Debris. We hope you enjoyed our show tonight. Join us next week, same time, same place. We love to have you listen.
For Check It In, Check It Out, I'm Julie Berry. Have a great week.
Good dag, and welcome to Check It In, Check It Out, a radio program for Kenya by the Elgin County Library. Ik hoop je han dit program geglaagd. Ik ben Mary Ham, and ik schof by the Elmer Library. We hunt in a library in Straffordville, Springfield, and Port Burwell, and ye can crack die wat ye van forn, de zand ola new oop. De oopner stun zand on the library dairn to zijn. Ye can a phone, nend dot phoneoma as 589 zas 3 eint fire zas 0 extension 809 van ye nog my information failed. Bitte koop nan en zeit wat we han in onze libraries tum junt en une familie met halpen.
Out the door we danced and sang, the whole library rang. Oh, I'm going down to the library, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. Gonna say hi to the dictionary, picking out a book, check it in, check it out. I'm going down to the library.